Thank you, Prem. Thank you, Harishankar, and dear listeners. Sai Ram from Prashanthinilam, the most happening place on the planet, as I always say. And yes, one of the most glorious, grand and supremely sublimating celebration began today in this most secret space on earth. Today is September 15th, September 25th, 2014, and the Dasara festival commences in Prashanthinilam today, like it happens in many parts of India and elsewhere. In the morning began the Kalasha Puja, which marks the beginning of the Navaratra Puja, wherein the Divine Mother principle is adored and worshipped as Durga, as Lakshmi, as Saraswati. And the Kalasha, for those who are unaware, is basically a copper or silver vessel filled with water, and on top of which is placed a coconut tied in a red cloth along with mango leaves, flowers, turmeric and so on. And this Kalasham is considered very auspicious because the Trinity of Godhead, Brahma, Vishnu and Maheshwara, all of them are believed to reside in the Kalasha. The three eyes of the coconut represent these three aspects of divinity responsible for creation, sustenance and dissolution. And the offering of a coconut is highly symbolic. It is equivalent to offering one's own head, offering one's own little self, offering one's own ego, one's own individuality, offering one's own pride, one's own desires, one's own attachment, one's own propensities that bind us to this world. Swami says, it is extremely hard to break the coconut when it is covered with a coat of outer fiber. But once that cover that binds so strongly is removed, then it is easy to break the coconut into two halves and offer it at the temple, at the shrine. This fiber, Swami says, is the fiber of desire for sense objects. These tight bonds of attachment, of anger, of hatred, and so on. And when we remove them, we can break the coconut. We become egoless. Breaking the coconut is becoming egoless. And Swami says, then you are accepted by the Lord. Then you are fit to be offered at the shrine. In fact, at the end of the ceremony, this coconut is broken and the water inside is generally distributed as prasadam, as charanamritam, as sanctified water, consecrated water to be partaken by all. So when does this happen? When we break the shell of individuality, then emerges this nectar, this sweet water inside that hard shell. In fact, many religious texts explain that every person should be like a coconut, hard from outside but white, nectarous and soft inside. So like this, if you look at the various facets of the Dasara celebration, everything is so pregnant with meaning. So the Dasara celebrations began this morning, as I told you, with the installation and initiation of the Kalasham, the Kalasha Puja. And the next most awaited day is the day when the Veda Purusha Sapta Jana Yajnam will begin in the Purnachandra Auditorium. The day when the Vedic scholars will rub two pieces of wood and produce the fire. The fire that will light up and lighten up this celebration, that will light and delight every heart. Once the sacrificial fire goes up in the air will also go up the sonorous and sanctifying Vedam chants, filling the whole ambience, rather surcharging the whole atmosphere with something otherworldly, something so elevating, so deeply sublimating. And that sacrificial fire will be on for the next 7 days. And it is this fire which will capture everyone's heart, mind and soul in the course of this sacred week. Because into this fire will everyone offer their prayers and their pining for the Lord, their anxieties and their worries, their good, their bad, their joys, their sorrows, their triumphs, their tragedies, their successes and their failures. Everything will go into this fire, and this fire has the immense potency to purify anything that is offered to it. It can only sublimate anything that is offered to it. It can only elevate, because fire only goes up. It knows only to look up, never to look down. And it knows only to take everything to its very end, to its logical end. It can take everything to its ultimate goal. And when you reflect on all this and the times that we've had with Bhagwan, what a sight it used to be when the one to whom everything is offered, the Yajna Purusha, the deity to whom all these oblations and offerings are addressed to through the fire being the carrier, the fire being the medium, he used to stand right in front of this sacred Yajna Kundam and himself make the offerings. And I think anyone who has seen the Dasara celebrations in Prashantinlam in the physical divine presence of Bhagwan can only consider himself or herself immensely blessed. Really, really unforgettable moments. Especially the Purnahuti day, the Vedic chants reaching their crescendo, the devotees' hearts vibrating with prayer and devotion at the highest frequency, and the most magnificent and merciful Lord, the cosmic consciousness encapsulated in the dramatic, diminutive, delectable form, standing in front of the fire, almost becoming one with the fire, accepting our offerings and showering us with heavenly benedictions. Benedictions, blessings, during the festival of Dasara is simply a ceaseless, relentless cascade. I guess because it is at this time that we see the divine in his most benevolent, most lovable, most compassionate, most merciful form. Because we revere him as Mother Divine. The Divine Mother fills us with gifts and grace, blessings and bounty. He gives and forgives and grants things even unasked. He fills and fulfills our lives. He gives us purity, prosperity, also tranquility. And coming to think of it, isn't Dasara the longest festival in Prashantinilam? The festival dedicated to the mother principle of the divine is in fact the longest festival in Prashantinilam. In Shivratri we do a night-long bhajan. In Krishna Janmashtami we have a day of rejoicing. In Ramanavami we spend a day chanting Ramanama. But for Dasara it is 10 days of intense prayers. And this is the way Dasara is celebrated everywhere. The final day, of course, being the day of ultimate victory, Vijayadashmi Day. So to me, it seems very significant that the festival where we adore and approach the Lord as the Divine Mother, is such an elaborate 9-day-long celebration. And that tells how important and how immensely beneficial it is for us. And that is perhaps the reason why Swami had this festival right from the 40s and 50s, and it continued all these years, through all these years, only increasing in its grandeur and celebratory spirit. It is said that God could not be everywhere, so he created mothers. But imagine our fortune, we literally had God as our mother. In his 86 years, Swami indeed has physically nourished, nurtured, fostered, protected, powered and cared for so many. He has created and recreated so many lives, so many souls. And as he always says, when you do not understand one mother's love, how can you ever understand the love of 1,000 mothers? And his was the love of 1,000,000 mothers and more. And we will never be able to fathom. A lifetime of loving him is still not enough to even get a glimpse of what his love means for us, for each one of us. And everyone, as I mentioned, every single one of us, we have experienced that love of Mother Sai. And some of us have had the chance to experience it at a very, very personal level, at a very intimate and intense level, having had the chance of being with him physically, very close. And dear listeners, today we have in the studio someone who has, as I mentioned, literally experienced this, perhaps like no one else has. He has experience this in its all glory, in its all aspects. He's someone who indeed is recreated by this divine mother, and who had the chance to serve him at very close quarters right till the end of Bhagavan's earthly sojourn. The divine mother served the divine mother as his divine master. Brother Satyajit Salian, perhaps he needs no introduction, but just in case anyone is not aware, he did his schooling in Mumbai and then he joined Bhagavan's university in 1991 for his bachelor's in sciences, majoring in chemistry. He went on to do his master's in chemistry, and then by Bhagavan's instruction, he did his master's in business administration. He joined for this course in 1996. And after that, Bhagavan drew him very close, and that is how he had the most privileged, most blessed, unparalleled opportunity of serving Swami as his divine master, as his divine mother, as his beloved. So today we are going to listen to his reflections of this aspect of his beautiful relationship, the beautiful relationship that he shares with Mother Sai in this last segment of Thursday Life, this beautiful, auspicious Thursday when we start the Navaratri celebrations.
Tune into Sai.
Spend the day with Sai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
So welcome to Outside Inside, Deep Inside, and as I just mentioned, today we have the special guest. We have Brother Satyajit Salian, and he is going to share his thoughts on this day when the Dasara celebrations begin, on this day when we begin to adore and worship and revere the Divine as the Divine Mother. He is going to share on the theme, My Sai, My Hriday Sai. Welcome Brother Satyajit to Outside Inside, Deep Inside.
Thank you, Brother Bishu, for the wonderful introduction to the program that you have given. It really sets the tone for a beautiful discussion that we can have on this beautiful topic that you have you're chosen for this talk. My Sai, my Hriday Sthai.
Yes,
I would like to make it.
Wow. So before we begin, can I ask you to probably just reflect on the Dasara celebration, because you are someone who has had the chance to see the Dasara celebrations on the stage as well as behind the stage. All of us get to see only what happens on the stage.
Yes, Vishu. See, when you were narrating about the Kalasha and the beginning of the Dasara programs, the thoughts came with flooding back about the days where Swami used to personally take so much of interest to make all the preparations. You know, sometime after Krishna Janmashtami, normally, Swami would take out the calendar, the Panchangam, mm-hmm. and then he would ask Chiranjirao sir, who used to always be there with him, one of his most loyal, most trusted lieutenants, if you could say, Chiranjirao
yes.
sir. And Swami would ask him, Emi Dasara Eppudu Chiranjirao? And he would, then they would refer to the, as if he doesn't know, he has to refer to the calendar, and he would ask, telling that, Emi Rasava, did you write to them? So, would indicate to the pandits. So,
yes.
About a month or month and a half before Dasara, the preparations would begin, and they would write to, earlier it used to be, the revered Paidamari Venkateshwar Rao Garu. Later on, after he passed away, it used to be Kondavdhani Garu, who still continues to serve as the coordinator for this yagnyams. So Swami used to insist that he writes, sends a telegram to them, and then writes and follows up about their well-being, confirmation of all the priests, along with a couple of cooks who were supposed to come. The kind of elaborate preparation that used to go on behind the stage is something that we never realize. And as the date comes closer, Swami would start making the arrangements for the dhotis.
To be given to the priest. And all of them are a team, right?
Yes, it's a team of 15 members that would come. 12 pandits, 2 cooks, and one would be our pujari.
Okay.
The pujari from our mandir. And the Brahma, the chief priest's wife also would come.
Yes.
So it would be a 16-member team who would be present there, who would take the diksha, as it is called. You know, they would tie the kankanam, the what's it called?
A sacred thread?
A sacred thread around the wrist, which tells that, okay, we have taken the vow that for the next 7 days we will complete this yajnam with all auspiciousness.
Mm-hmm.
So this would be the preparations, you know, backstage. And on day one, the Kalasha Puja day, Swami would, you know, on the previous day, we would be running around getting those Ravika Gudda, I used to call it, the blouse piece, that red cloth that you spoke about.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually a blouse piece that needs to be covered, and that would be offered to the Pujari. Our Pandit Pujari ji would come, he would accept, he would take it from Swami directly. Swami would insist that he would give that, you know, two or three days before that, he would inspect the polishing of all those silverware that needs to be given to them. You know, we would ensure that all those things are polished and kept. So the minute detail to which Swami would go to ensure that this yajnam would be spick and span. You know, there would be people two or three sevadals who would come at least 3 days or 4 days in advance to make sure that the rooms for the pandits are taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
Any small cracks or anything on the walls or anything that has to be whitewashed, kept ready. The detail is unbelievable. And Swami would inspect on what are the provisions that have been given to the pujaris. Because, you know, they don't eat cooked food. The food has to be cooked. When they are in the diksha period, they are supposed, the two pandits who come, the two pujaris who come, they cook the food there. So only the provisions are given to them. So these are all the arrangements.
So Patra Suddhi, Podartha Suddhi,
everything.
Paka Suddhi.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Right? So these are the arrangements that Swami would make. And the intricate detail that he would go into when looking at the Purnahuti Samagri. There are nearly 21 different items that go.
So Swami would look into each of them.
Look into each of those things. Every single thing, and you know, it would be packed in a another Ravaka Gudda or
red cloth,
and you know, that would be offered to the pandits later on. So every single detail Swami would go into.
Wow! And you should sit for long hours in the morning, listen to all the chants, the corner of the stage.
Yes. He would not move out till
yes.
That. No, is it not? It's such a beautiful thing to see that Surya Namaskar being done to Swami.
Yes.
You know, he does the
run
around Swami.
When that priest had that, was such an invaluable opportunity, such a priceless, unbelievable opportunity. I mean, going around the sun god himself.
In the physical form.
Yes,
amazing.
Wow.
So yes, these are the wonderful memories, you know, and including the menu. Okay, every day's menu, Swami would insist that he should be told about the menu for the 15 people.
Wow.
Chiranjeevi sir would and then Swami would make alterations, telling that no, you gave the same thing yesterday. Why not make the changes? See, this is the beauty of the mother, right?
Yes, so, really, that's what exactly occurred to me. Bhagwan was the divine mother. He was divine mother for everyone. But you know, when he calls someone these priests, and he was even more concerned about their welfare. And so, Brother Satyajit, may I ask you, when did you start experiencing this facet of the divine?
What shall I say? The very first sight of Swami, way back in 1984, I was a 10-year-old boy.
Mm-hmm.
I still remember being, you know, mesmerized by that divine form.
Mm-hmm.
And I still remember, as I was a child, and the program just before this, they were talking about the dream states, etc.
Yes.
And you know, I remember what an intense dream I had got as a child, 10-year-old boy. That dream is, you know, has got etched on my memory forever. And I had come to Prashanthi Nilayam, and the most beautiful thing about Prashanthi Nilayam in those days, for a child, is the sand, right?
Yes.
The beautiful, well-swept sand.
This is the 80s.
80s, 84. 84 was the first time I had come here. My father, my brother was a young boy. I was a young boy of 10. And After going back to Parthi, after going back from Parthi to Bombay, I had a dream. I had this dream of, you know, sitting in Prashanthi Nilayam, playing in the sand, because that was the most memorable thing that I had carried. So I was playing in the sand, and I was feeling guilty that I'm not concentrating on Swami, but I'm focusing so much on playing in the sand. And Swami comes in the dream. He comes to me, and I can see him towering in front of me. I'm sitting in a small, tiny tot and playing in the sand. And Swami is looking at me with his hands behind his back. And all of a sudden, Swami sits down, cross-legged in front of me, and he starts playing with his hand in front of me. I mean, see, that is the bonding that happens for a 10-year-old boy. And, you know, that's where the initial, so that question brought out the memory of, you know, I had not
so
thought of.
That's a very vivid dream.
Very, very vivid dream. Absolutely vivid.
So you had some connection with Bhagwan. In your subconscious mind, there was always some connection.
Yes, yes. So, I mean, that's what, a 10-year-old boy, and what deep impact that Swami's first darshan has. You know, we were here for a week at that point of time. It was in October, October 1984 was the first time we had.
Somewhere Dasara time.
Dasara time, yes. Yajnam was not going on at that time, but yes, somewhere near Dasara.
I mean, that is something really amazing of Bhagwan. I think he knows how to connect with every person.
Absolutely, absolutely. And everyone feels that, you know, he has come especially
he's
for me.
Come for me, absolutely.
All the way he has come.
Yeah, only for me.
Only for me.
So when did you start feeling that?
Many, many times. I cannot pinpoint one period in my life where I felt that. But when he really, you know, picked me close, somewhere in 1996, April 1996, we had gone to Kodaikanal. And after we came back from Kodai, I knew that he had plans for me, right? And he would talk to me every day. He would make sure that I come inside. And there, you know, looking at Swami from close quarters, looking at Swami not from when he is in that samashti darshan, you know, when he is giving that grand darshan for everybody, but in his personal quarters, you have a different kind of the persona in front of you. You know, he is so approachable. He is so full of joy, full of fun, without any airs, absolutely, and the without any formality around him. And that aspect, that pure love that you feel pouring out of him, is something that you cannot express, you cannot put into words. And that continued to draw me. And you know, that, you know, they say that many a times I've heard people say that, you know, Swami is like a fire. Don't stay too far away because you won't feel the warmth. But don't go too close, you will get burnt. But I always used to say that the purpose of our life is to get burnt.
Burnt. Yes.
We are cold. The purpose of our life is to get burnt. So there can be no difference. There can be no distance between you and God.
Because you also become that light.
You become that light. You become that light. Absolutely. Right. So and so that is the love that attracts that absolute purity, absolute you know, overflowing compassion that you feel, and your heart responds, it starts resonating with that divine love, you know, telling that with his presence you are pining for more. You know, every moment that you are not with him,
yes,
you feel that, you know, you want to be you know, as if there is something that is missing, so deeply missing when you are not around him. So your whole day would rotate around that one hour that we would spend. And these were the earlier days, you know, and that is how that love continues to grow, brother.
Yes. You come out of the room and again waiting when I can go back again.
And it would be the most mundane of conversations at some times. You know, he would be reading the newspaper and you would feel the love pouring from your heart, you know, as if some part of you reaching out, telling that, okay, this is, you know, you have to be there. You have to be with him. No, and that is where that is the true meaning of when Swami says it is not nearness that is important, it is dearness that is important. He always used to make the distinction between nearness and dearness. So don't be satisfied with nearness, physical proximity, Swami would say. Ensure that you have that heart that is filled with love, you know, with for the mother, for the form if you look at that relationship as a mother, as a father, as a friend, any relationship, Mariyantayu Nive, as yes. you know, that they, and you are everything else to me, that relationship has to become stronger and stronger. And till it becomes, you know, oneness with him, and you feel him, you know, as a Hridayasthai, or you yes. know, totally settled in your heart forever.
Wow. And in those years, when you look back, is it possible to pick up a few moments, you know, when you really felt so overwhelmed with Bhagavan's love?
One of the aspects of Bhagavan is, you know, how he creates that atmosphere for everybody. You know, you can see Swami meticulously planning for the comfort of everybody around him. So, I could see the effort that Swami puts. Suppose we had gone to Kodaikanal. The first visit to Kodaikanal for any one of us is, you know, experiencing that. But the second visit, you automatically become a witness, and you start to see the planning. You are no longer
enjoying it.
You are enjoying, definitely enjoying
yes.
it, but you are no longer
seeing something beyond also.
Yes, that is a level of, you know, it's like the second level of enjoyment that
you
get.
The first time when you go, you are so overwhelmed with how Bhagavan every day tries to give you something or the other. As soon as you go, he gives you towels, he gives you bags, he gives toothbrush, toothpaste, everything.
Every single thing. That mother aspect of Swami, you know, how meticulously he takes care of it. And you get to see that, the background preparation for that. How Swami would ensure that everything is kept for his boys, for my children. See, that concern, that love of Swami for his children, that mother aspect of Bhagwan is, you know, when you look at that you feel so drawn to him, telling that it is not, you know, your consciousness expands that, you know, he is there for me, I am there for him, but he is equally there for everyone else. That ego automatically starts, you know, diminishing, and you tell that my role now is to ensure that we facilitate everything that, you know, Swami. So you become part of the whole game plan. See, mm-hmm. that is the beauty of Swami. Why are we all now so passionate? All of us, the Sai Sannidhi Day the other day, 215 of us. Why are we all so passionate about working for this organization? Because we feel that we have been filled so much with love that we are now insiders. We are part of this whole big plan, and it is our personal responsibility to ensure that this universal form of Sai is taken to, you know, more and more people across the world. See? So that aspect, see, you know, love not just as an emotion, but love as a drive, love as an expression of wanting to do more for others. You know, that is something that only God can do. You know, that is why you need that million mothers' love.
Yes.
Because you have to feel overwhelmed.
Yes.
Before you have to get totally submerged before you can, you know, feel that, okay, we need to do something more.
Yes. Wow. Yeah. Amazing. And what were those occasions, you know, when you really felt submerged in Bhagavan's love? I know there'll be many, but if you can pick for our listeners one or two of them.
See, the way I look at it, you know, it's in multiple layers. It's submerging. It's first your feet are wet, and then your knees are wet, and then you totally start gulping the water in, right?
Yes.
So, you know, when you see Swami preparing, when the smaller things that first attract you about Swami, you know, he used to make the things ready for his children. Let's focus on the motherly aspect of Swami right today.
Yes.
That should be the mode. And, you know, mother wants to feed. Wants to feed. Always the mother wants to feed. And I remember
the best way you can make mummy happy is to eat.
Eat in front of her.
Yes.
Not?
And
kya khata nahi hai, bhook nahi hai.
Yes.
Kya ra, achha kha sakta hai, young boy hai. You should tell that. You're a young boy, you should eat well. And, you know, and he would make those arrangements for the boys. I remember one of those beautiful sessions that Swami used to always create in Vrindavan, at least once during his stay in Vrindavan, he would arrange this. This is there's one very long standing devotee of Swami, Mr. Balram Nichani, who used to drive Swami. I'm sure you would have seen
yes.
Mr. Nichani drive Swami. And he would, Swami would instruct him, day after tomorrow you bring tumbler idlis.
Tumbler idlis.
It's not that ordinary idli. It's like the idli in the shape of a glass. It's like a huge glass. It'll be at least 6 inches high and with around a 4-inch diameter. It's huge.
Mm-hmm.
And he would go. There was a hotel called Woody's in Bangalore, and Swami he would insist, and he would come in his back seat of his car would be filled with all these items, and he would bring this food for around 50 to 60 children, students who have stayed back for the vacation.
Okay.
And these boys would be called into that tray hall, that round hall that is there, and Swami would make sure that he'll serve to every one of us. It's like an entire pantry in his home. Swami's home would be a pantry, and he would ensure that he's serving, and he'll sit there in the center of the hall, inspecting and ensuring that everyone eats, everybody gets, and nobody leaves anything. There would be a huge tumbler idli. There would be a, unbelievably big, rasam vada. It's like 2 inches thick and with around 5 inches diameter. You can't see a vada of that size. It's bloated with rasam, right? And that would be, so boys used to be overwhelmed just looking at that size, and then they'll be looking here and there. How do I finish this? Kind of thing. This is the first aspect of Swami, filling the children's bellies first,
yes.
Right, before he starts filling their hearts.
Yes.
And these are all small incidents. And as I remember, that getting the perspective of I have seen this happening. I have seen the boys being served by Swami, but the perspective of Swami as an eternal being comes, because we have seen only a small phase of Swami's life. And we have not seen, each one of us, yes. Every individual has seen only a small face.
Yes.
Some get attached. When I look at the 80s picture, I see that I don't know that Swami so well. The 90s pictures, I see, this Swami, this is my Swami. Because I remember 90s Swami and the 2000s Swami.
Mm.
Right? And some people would see the 40s Swami and say, that was the golden age,
yes.
Right? And everything. When I was seeing this perspective, I remember Swami gives us the bigger picture, and he used to make the most beautiful lady that I have seen, Mrs. Ratanlal, the 94-year-old mother today. She is still agile, still walking, still fresh in her memories, and her reminiscences of Swami are so bright.
Yes.
And she would be at the dining table in Trivandrum, and Swami would make her narrate one incident or the other. And she used to love narrating this incident about how Swami one day stole from her house. Right?
Stole,
yes. Oh. So she says that she would always be in the, she used to keep the door unlocked, and there were times when Swami would just walk into their house. Their quarters were just on the outside of
Vrindavan.
So on the other side of the compound was there a small house, the current guest houses that they call it. And one day she was inside the kitchen, in her own, main apni dhun mein thi, she was telling. And she was singing some bhajan and she was cooking. Swami came and Swami told that you make fruit salad for the boys, fruit salad with ice cream. So Swami came to the house and he saw that this Amaji is inside. So he told two or three boys, you take the fruit salad can. So the fruit salad was ready. It was a huge bucket of fruit salad that had been made. Swami told the boys, you take it. You take it away. And so she forgot later on. She went home. She thought probably she has already sent it. And when she came to Mandir and when the distribution was being done, Swami asked, where is the fruit salad? So Mrs. Ratanlal, she ran back home, telling that. And there are neighbors, the neighbors, the other devotees, they have seen Swami do, they have actually seen Swami in the act. See the pranks that Swami, the leelas, and this, and Swami is telling, kya fruit salad banane ko bola hai, nahi banaya.
You have not made
the fruit salad. I had specifically told you, the boys want fruit salad. I have promised the boys that fruit salad will be there. And you have not made fruit salad. She is telling, nahi Swami, maine banaya tha, pata nahi kaha gaya. I had made it, I don't know where it is. You can imagine the perspiration, the palpitations, right, in Amaji's heart. Swami ensured that she goes through the whole thing, and then the others are all laughing. She told that, Swami, mujhe pata nahi, Swami, main haar gayi. And then Swami, you know, laughs and tells that, "Hey, buddhi nahi, kya darwaja?" You know, you keep your door unlocked and you keep working inside. Somebody comes and steals, it's only me that came. It's good, otherwise somebody else could come and steal. Right? Monkeys aa sakta hai, you know, monkeys could come and steal. See that kind, that joy.
Yeah.
Bhagwan has come to fill us with joy.
Really.
Bhagwan has come, descended, to ensure that our hearts will remember Him in 100 different ways. We'll remember Him in with such fond memories that, you know, our heart would be filled with so much of happiness, so much of love, that we cannot but pass it on.
And in every facet.
Every facet of Swami's. I mean, this is a, you know, the fun aspect of it.
Yes.
But when it looks at the intensity of His teachings, you know, when he knows that I have nourished his belly enough, I have to nourish his heart.
Yes.
So nourishing is, the mother is Annapurna, is it not?
He
fills, nourishes us. So then the nourishing of the heart begins, the nourishing of the intellect begins. When he starts speaking of the deepest of truths, when he makes you sit in front of him, you feel that that discourse that he's giving is a direct talk to you.
Yes.
It's only, you know, he always used to say, my distance from you is your distance from me. So if you are able to listen, if we are able to listen to Bhagwan's discourse with the intensity of an interview.
Yes.
Right? It is a personal interview for us. Many a times I have felt, you know, Swami used to give instructions to me inside the interview room, and I used to feel so charged, saying, oh, here is a special instruction for me. And, you know,
it has come only to me.
Only to me. Like Kabir Das got it when he was lying on the river bank, and that, you know, he wanted to get a mantropadesha, and he, you know, that Puja Panditji was not giving. So he lay down on the steps, and the Panditji, as he was going to the banks of the Ganges, he steps on Kabir Das, and he tells, Ram, 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 Ram. Says that he has stepped on somebody, and he says, "Mera mantropadesh mil gaya." So, you know, when in the interview room, when Swami says, you tell, "Oh my God, this is my special secret mantropadesha." Next morning, next evening, in the discourse, he would be telling that that instruction. He would have told that 100 times, you wouldn't have heard it. And but when he tells you directly, you feel, "Oh my God, this is special, and I'm going to follow it for the rest of my life." So the point here is that, you know, when Swami tells him in the discourse, you feel, "Oh Swami, that was my special gift." The point is, if we are able to listen to Swami's discourses with that intensity, that it is my personal interview, that it is my mother speaking to me directly, then the discourses become so powerful.
Yes.
The discourses of Bhagwan. I know there are times now also when I, thanks to the beautiful Radio Sahi, you know, the discourse stream is a fantastic thing. You know, there are times where when I don't get sleep, the whole night the Radio Sai discourse stream goes on. So I doze off and awakened by Swami's voice, and again I doze off, again awakened by Swami's voice. It's a flow. It's as if his voice is washing over us, caressing us, you know, enveloping us like a blanket. You know, that comfort, that feeling of being once again in the womb of Bhagwan's protection. That aspect is a great gift, is the greatest gift that Swami has given, because He has allowed us to experience His love, allowed us to experience Him as His child.
Yes.
You know, we should be eternally grateful to Him for that.
And I think constantly feeling enveloped in His love is what will always make Him happy.
Yes, yes, yes. At the most difficult periods of our life, you know, the best meditation is sit in front of His photo, imagine Him enveloping you, covering Him as a blanket, covering you, and you are in the Hiranyagarbha,
the
golden womb of, you know, Bhagwan, and that's a feeling that you can never, that the sense of protection that can never be, you know, it's like the kavacha or the armor.
It's a mighty shield.
It's a mighty shield, absolutely.
And brother, when you look at, you know, this love of Bhagwan, I mean, this has also been my experience where, you know, this love for Bhagwan and Bhagwan's love for you is something you begin to understand in a very small way.
Yes.
And
yes,
as you spend more and more time with Bhagwan, you only know how much you do not know.
Exactly. Absolutely. I totally agree with you. Totally agree with you, because the revelation that comes, that, oh my God, I have been so carried away by my ego, that I have been so carried away by my foolishness, that I thought that is the right way of looking at things, and suddenly new perspectives come with
him. And what his love can do for you, and what his love constantly does for you, and some things that he does not do for you, that's again out of love.
Yes, it is. Yes, the nourishment that we were talking about, it fills you with a sense of self-confidence, right? And that, it fills you with satisfaction. But what you said, what it does not do for you, that is the self-sacrifice aspect.
Yes.
It is very important. It is very important for you to feel the joy of sacrifice. Feel the joy that Swami has not done something for me. If you are able to see the joy out of that, that is so beautiful. That is so beautiful. Instead of feeling that I have been deprived or complaining about that, telling that Swami has chosen not to do something for me. And to know that in that
to know that how he has protected me.
Yes, exactly. So we don't. So that's a beautiful aspect. I remember, for me, the thing that brought me closest to Swami physically, or when you look at it, analyze it from a student's perspective, from a college boy's perspective, was the drama. Right, so the 70th birthday, I played a role, and so that brought me close to Swami. So I participated in all the dramas in the first 5 years of my college.
You were once a Shiva. You did Tandava dance.
That was a Shiva Tandava dance. That was in sports meet time, and this 70th birthday drama was the role of a young father whose son has got a hole in his heart. So that became that was a lead role. So now, Swami had started speaking to me, so I was already assuming that for the next drama, I'm going to be the hero, come on, right? That kind of a thing. And Swami, he called me, and, around October, it was a vacation period, and Swami said, tomorrow onwards, these drama practices are going to start. So, these afternoons, you come to the interview room, you stop coming to the interview room, you go for the practice. So I started, seeing danger now telling him, am I going to, you want the world and you want God both, right? You want both the things.
Yes.
So I told Swami, the drama practice will be in the evenings. No, you should, it's a big drama, you should practice well, practice in the afternoon also. I told Swami, Swami, I will practice afterwards, because I'm not saying that I don't want the drama, right? I'm still holding on to both. So, Swami said.
And that was a very unique opportunity. You spend one-to-one time with Swami.
In the afternoon.
And perhaps you're bunking classes.
Yeah, I had the chance
to leave the class.
I had the good fortune of formally missing the second half of the fifth period. So I had the good fortune of walking out halfway through in the class. So it was a nice. So these stories do carry for long years. Yes, I know that. So I would go inside, and then Swami was telling me that you don't come from tomorrow onwards. And it took such a Herculean effort, I'm telling you, brother, to tell no to the drama. I told Swami, I don't want the drama. I don't want to miss this opportunity. Swami. To a young man,
You're an accomplished actor,
and you're looking forward through the whole year that this time I would be the star, kind of a thing.
Yes.
Right? That, to tell no to that, and to be clear that it is Swami's love only that is important. So that self-sacrifice. So I really, that was a painful thing, telling that Swami did not do something for me, kind of a thing. So, Swami could have allowed me to be in the drama, kind of a thing. But the satisfaction that comes, telling that I have done the right thing.
Yes.
I have done the right thing, and I know that, and just as a gift, Swami used to make sure that I would be present for all the drama rehearsals when he goes. That is the key thing, right?
Wow.
So he would take me to the key.
You are then the best moments.
Best moments. You are not lost anything.
Yes.
So these are all beautiful things that Swami teaches
to
a young boy. And that's the mother's love. He is telling that know how to choose the right thing. Know what is important in life. And let go of the small hankerings. Let go of the affinity towards the pittance. and look only for the bangaru or the gold that is Swami.
Yeah, I think that's something amazing. And Bhagwan, I think that you see in a normal mother, and with Bhagwan it is like so many million times more.
Yes.
And he is so eager to ensure that we are on the right path, and he will do anything for it.
Anything.
He will do anything for it.
Yes.
And when we see a normal mother going out of her way to ensure that, you know, you do this, or you eat this, or you don't do this. Mm-hmm. I think Bhagwan, we have seen he would go to any extent.
Yes, yes. I mean, the love aspect would be sweet as well as very, very spicy, right?
Yes.
When he wants to ensure that you are, no, see, because along with Daiva Bhiti, Daiva Preeti, Papa Bhiti is an important aspect that needs to come into you.
Yes.
Because what happens, many a times we have observed very closely, is that you end up having Daiva Bhiti. You start feeling fear for God. You don't fear the wrong things that you are doing. You fear facing God because you have done something wrong. So the fear is, you know, coming in front of Swami.
Yeah.
Rather than stop doing, the things that would make Swami unhappy.
Yes.
And it is the ego that your weakness, our own weaknesses that don't allow us to let go of those things. And at that point of time, you know, the disciplining that Swami brings in is the real disciplining of a mother, of more than a mother. I mean, it's not just a mother; it's definitely a father. Right?
Yes. So, yes. And I think you have that fierce Kali form of mother, because
yes, absolutely.
Yeah, because he wants to annihilate what is dark in us.
Yes,
absolutely. So he takes that dark form.
Very, very, very well put, brother. Yes, yes. That's the right analogy, right? Image that we need to keep in front of us. Yes, that fierceness of Bhagwan, that fear that comes out of that fierce protection that Swami feels for us.
Right? Yes.
So telling that chadtaadu, he's telling he's going to get spoiled. I don't want him to ruin his life, right? And that wholesome life that he envisages for us. He used to always give this. I remember ever since you told me yesterday that we'll be having this interview, I've been thinking about, okay, what is it that we'll discuss about? And since this morning, this word that has been going on in my head was Madalasa.
Mm-hmm.
And I remembered the name, and I remembered the name very vividly, and you know, but then I had to really go back and do some research, telling that, okay, what was the exact story that Swami used to talk about Madalasa? Madalasa is the is a character from the Markandeya Purana. She is a daughter of Vishwavasu, the king of the Gandharvas. And Swami used to narrate the story about her, especially her motherhood. And one of the most beautiful things, I hope you're able to find that clip, and we could play it one of those days, of Madalasa singing a lullaby to his children and to her children, to her son. She had ensured that three of her sons had already become ascetics. You know, she is the one who trains her children to become renunciants. No mother would do that.
Correct.
And so that's the thing. And her lullaby, it says, I got it from the discourse, it says, "My dear one, you are the one of purity, wisdom and supreme bliss. Wake up." It's a lullaby, okay? It's a lullaby, he says. And in the lullaby she says, "Wake up from the sleep of moha. Then you will realize the samsara is but a dream." No, and this is the lullaby that's, when Swami sings that, it's a beautiful thing. And he says that, she says, "Wake up from the sleep of moha or attachment, and then you will realize that this world is but a dream." And King Ritadvaja, who was her husband, he gets furious, telling that, "You have already sent three of my sons to the forest. At least leave this fourth one to rule the kingdom. Who is going to rule my kingdom?"
Everyone becomes ascetic.
Yes, if everybody becomes an ascetic, who's going to rule my kingdom? And her response, he says that, "How long can one rule over a worldly kingdom? How long can one rule over a worldly kingdom? It is only a temporary period. I am making my sons the emperor of the Hridaya Samrajya, or the realm of the heart."
Wow.
That word, was a very was one of the all-time favorites of Bhagwan, Hridaya Samrajya. He used to use that word even in the case of Raja Harishchandra, when he used to say,
saying
that you are the emperor of the realm of the heart,
kingdom of the
kingdom of the
heart.
Kingdom of the heart. So, you know, that aspect is, you know, that is the vision that Swami has as a mother. You know, and the way he puts all his passions, all his aspirations for his children through the words of Madalasa is so beautiful. You know, and he wants us to know what is permanent in life. He wants us to know what would sustain us forever in the true happiness, in a continuous nourishment for our own being, our own well-being. And that is always the lookout of the mother. And now the spiritual nourishment is the greatest gift that our Mother Sai has always, you know, looked at.
Yeah, absolutely. It's really amazing. When you see how Bhagwan, he starts off with fulfilling our physical needs.
Small things.
So that, you know, we start developing that endearing relationship. And then once that builds up, once we know that here is someone who is for me,
yes,
here is someone who will do anything for me, that's when he starts utilizing the opportunity to start chiseling us.
Yes.
To start shaping us, to start really recreating us.
Yes.
And then the process begins.
Yes.
And it comes to a point where you feel, yeah, this is my mother, and you know, this is the one specially for me. This is with him I can do rule the world, I can do everything. And you also start becoming possessive, and that is the time you'll see that, hello, he's not just mine.
Yes, exactly.
He's everyone's.
No, it's such a beautiful expansion of the vision, expansion of the consciousness that happens during that. You know, Swami used to describe, you know, when the Rasalila used to happen, there,
yes,
was one Krishna for every Gopika.
Yes.
All right, so here is the Divine Mother, who is the mother of the universe. You know, who is there with the same intensity.
Same intensity
for everyone.
Wow.
See, that's the beauty of it. And
perhaps you also would have gone through this journey, right? You had Bhagwan at a physical level, mm, so close to you,
mm,
and at the same time for you to accept that it's the same Bhagwan who is there for all.
No, he brings that concept. That is a very important part of the training that he gives you, telling that he will ensure that, you know, you get that perspective very well, because when you feel that you are developing the tail of, you know, or developing, yeah, the horns, komulostuna, you know, you're getting horns. Right? That is a very important aspect of Bhagwan's training. And you know, very early, maybe within a couple of years, anybody who has come close to Swami, he knows that there will be a phase where he will put you through, you know, it's the cold storage phase,
yes,
kind of a thing.
Yes.
So you know that you don't take it for granted.
Yes.
The mother's love is, so it's, the mother always tells that, you know, no child can hog all the attention.
Yes.
The mother has to take care of the three kids or four, five kids at home. So no child will be given a special permission. And Swami used to always say that, you know, he used to give that beautiful example of, you know, for the 7-year-old, she'll say that the food is there, you go pick it up, and for a 5-year-old, she'll serve it and bring it and put it. And for the, you know, for the toddler, she would actually go and feed the child. So,
yeah,
depending on how you grow. And everybody feels the same love for the mother.
And as we were discussing, you know, when Bhagwan loves, and when you feel that love, I mean, because his love is million mothers, you feel it that much more. But when he wants to correct you also, it is that severe.
It is severe. Yes. You know, and that is I'll narrate that incident when, you know, once we were driving down the primary school in the road, and as we crossed the primary school, we heard this beautiful bhajan. Ikbar Kshama Karo Sai. I don't know.
Yeah, that's a bhajan which is sung.
Ikbar Kshama Karo Sai.
Mere Baba Shri Satya Sai.
It used to be a beautiful bhajan, and you know, it's got a beautiful lilting tune. The tune used to be beautiful, and I used to love it for the tune. And when we were crossing the primary school, this bhajan was going on, and I said, Swami, this is a very beautiful bhajan, Swami, but they don't sing it that often these days. And Swami, you know, Swami says that I am not Bhaya Priya, I am Bhava Priya. I am not,
yes,
for the external thing, but for the Bhava, the feelings. And you know, he listens to the words so beautifully, and he looked at me and said, I don't scold the children too often these days, don't I? That's why. He's telling them. So that's why this bhajan is not being, the bhajan is about forgiveness. No, yes. Forgive me once, Swami. This
yes.
once more, please forgive me kind of a thing. Mm. So yes, the training aspect of Bhagwan, you know, see now that we are in this Vidyavani program and I interact with teachers, I always say this to the teachers, telling that earn the right to scold.
Yes.
Earn the right to scold. You yes. have to, you cannot assume that you can scold a child. You cannot chastise a child. You cannot directly take the chisel and the hammer and start chiseling away. You have to earn the right. That is the love aspect. So unless the child feels that chisel in the teacher's hand is for my good,
yeah.
the child would, you know, run away from it. And that aspect, to be able to not just be an experiencer of the divine love of Swami or as a mother, but to bring some aspect of that motherly love in our hearts.
Yes.
For society, for the children of this Mother Earth.
Yes.
Right? If we are able to get that aspect into our hearts, I think that is one beautiful sadhana that we can have as part of this Navaratri.
Absolutely. I remember interacting with many of the teachers of the Sri Satisa Had Secondary School here, Prashanthi Nilayam. And on one occasion, you know, one of them was sharing how he had to punish once one of the boys. And, you know, he was wondering how it would be taken. But that boy took it in such a positive manner. You know, anywhere else people would say, how can you do that to a boy? But, you know, but it was only because the boy knew in his heart of hearts that this teacher loves me so much.
Yes.
You know, he had no doubts about it.
Yes.
It was so much settled in his mind, in his heart, that whatever he did it only because he loves me, that it never went wrong.
Yes. I think, that is because, again, that's what I'm saying. It is because the teachers have experienced that kind of a love here, right, from Swami,
yes.
that they are able to see and yes. you know, pass it on.
Pass it on.
You know, I have had the good fortune of with many of the teachers that come from across India. I had the good fortune of visiting the primary school, and you know, when we see Auntie Muni Auntie speaking about her vision for the school and her vision of disciplining the children, you know, the motherly aspect that she has experienced from Swami, it's a revelation. You know, how they are able to take the most difficult steps to correct a child without weakening at that point of time. You know, telling
yes.
them, because they know that it is important to correct the child at the right moment. The parents may not be able to do, but a teacher's role is so much more.
Yes.
Right? So that aspect of Swami, the Mother yes. Kali aspect of Swami,
yes. yeah.
is an important aspect of.
Yes.
Of
and as you mentioned, we were able to do, and the teachers are able to do, only because Swami himself demonstrated that. They have seen Bhagwan do it.
Yes. yes.
They have seen Bhagwan correcting, disciplining mm-hmm. children.
Yes.
And I think in every aspect of when we look at the principle of motherhood in Bhagwan, we saw that demonstration in all his facets. Even the love that Bhagwan had for his own mother.
Yes.
Ishwarama.
Yes.
And he showed us how we should love our mother. By he himself, even though, he is the divine one, he is the primordial one, but since he had a physical being through him, through which he came, he had that same respect only to show us.
Yes.
And perhaps you probably would have seen that yes. love that Swami had for Mother Ishwarama.
Yes, brother. I mean, see, we could see the warmth in Swami's voice, the moistening of his eyes when he used to speak about Mother Ishwarama. And once in a while narrating some incident about Mother Ishwarama, there would be that, impish smile on his face. You know? He would become a child, you know, reminiscing how he had teased his mother, how he has, he would laugh at her fears when she was terrified that Swami would be going to Africa. Right? So, how he would laugh at her fears. So these reminiscences of Bhagwan, you know, that would bring a beautiful smile on his face, you know, and you remember, you know, towards the last quite a few years, in 2004 or 2005, Swami started coming back on Ishwarama Day here to Parthi.
Yes.
In that hot summer,
yes.
to ensure that he would come. Even there are times where he had come just for a couple of days.
You'd cut short the Kodai trip.
And so now Ishwarama Day, I have to go back kind of a thing. He would No, so to pay respects to the mother, that was an aspect that he always demonstrated, yes. And see, the mother's love is so intense, you know, and he, you know, it was a shocking and mind-blowing experience for me
mm-hmm.
when, you know, in 2008, when we came back from Vrindavan, it was a very, I remember it being a very, very, very hot afternoon. It was sometime in June, in early June 2008. That was the last visit to Vrindavan, and we came back. And no, Swami said that I won't go for darshan. I won't tell them to give aarti. I won't go for bhajans. And Swami lay down. It was a very bright, sunny afternoon. From the western windows, the sunlight was seeping in very, very brightly, and it was, you know, I was sweating. Like anything, that image is so intense. So Swami lay down on his bed, and I put my mat on the floor, and I also lay down. It was around 4 o'clock in the afternoon, very bright sunshine. And as soon as I lay down on the bed, I was so tired that I dozed off. And within that 5 minutes of sleep that I got, 5 to 7 minutes that I slept, I had a very intense dream of Mother Ishwarama standing, at the same place. In the dream, I am seeing that Swami is lying on his bed. I am lying down on the floor on my mat here. It's the afternoon sun streaming in from the window. Mother Ishwarama standing at the feet, of Swami and talking to Swami.
Mm-hmm.
It was a very intense dream, and I opened my eyes, and I was, just savoring that dream and enjoying it, and I just wanted to see what is Swami doing. I looked up, turned my head very lazily and looked up, and I saw Swami looking straight at me. And I did namaskar. My hands automatically went in the namaskar posture, and Swami told, "Chusava, chusava, chusava, thrice." He told, "Did you see? Did you see? Did you see?"
Oh my God!
And I jumped out of the bed. I'm telling you, brother, I jumped out of bed, and I told Swami, "Amma darshanam ayindi, Swami. Swami, I had Amma's darshan. Adhe aduktunnan ras. That's what I'm asking you. Did you see?"
Wow.
And you know, see, you are spellbound. You cannot. I have stopped analyzing it because to me it looks like a dream. And here is Bhagwan talking to me and asking. And then he to make it make sure that that is etched in the memory forever. Swami narrated the entire conversation that I had heard in my dream. He told that this is what she was asking and this is what I was telling. All this whole conversation. He described the sari that pacha chira pacha ravaki veskon vachindi.
That sari the mother was wearing, Swami described.
Yes.
Wow.
And there's a beautiful play of words here. The word pacha has got two meanings in Telugu. So when Swami said pacha chira pacha ravaki veskon vachindi, I told Swami, yellow sari, green blouse, Swami. Adera pacha ante aku pacha. Pasup pacha untaru. They're like aku pacha is the pacha of the leaf and mm-hmm. the pacha of the turmeric.
Mm-hmm.
That pacha is a word that is used for describing both. Aku pacha, pasup pacha, the two colors in Telugu are conveyed that way. So Swami, mother was wearing the green blouse and the yellow sari. The Swami described exactly this thing. This is the play of things that Swami does to ensure. And then Swami says that Vasta untundra, she keeps coming. Where can she go? Ichipetti ekkada veltundi. How can she go leaving me? And when I look at that, that is the greatest solace for me. That dream in 2008 is Swami's gift. Swami's one of the most important source of strength for me, because when I correlate that and think that when Mother Ishwarama could not leave her son and go, how can Swami, our yes. mother, million mothers leave and go? So he is, that presence of Bhagwan. It is only, the need to feel that oneness with him. And that he is accessible to each one of us. It's only the deepest recesses of our hearts. We have to open it up to him. And, ensure that we are able to reach out to him. And it's a very, very beautiful lesson that, Swami has left behind for us.
Amazing. As you mentioned, you would like to call this my Sai, my Hridaya Sthai.
Yes.
And I think that is what it is. Now, when you have Swami himself telling where will she go?
Where will she go?
Leaving me. And then I think we should be never ever, even by mistake, also ever ask that question, where is Swami? Is he there? Has he left me? I am in so much trouble.
Yes.
What is he doing? He's not bothered about me. I think we should never. Even entertain even a tinge of thought.
Should not.
I mean, if we say that he is our mother, if we say he has a million mother's love and all that, and then we got to always remember that he is there much more eager, I think, more eager than, you know, you see the sunlight. Bhagwan, you should say this, and to me it's the apt imagery of how Bhagwan wants to always be with us and protect us. Even if there is a tiniest of hole,
it will seep in.
It will seep in in a dark room.
Oh, yes.
I think that is how Bhagwan's love is also.
Yes.
Million mother's love. I mean, and it is only, as you mentioned, that if any time we are feeling that we are not experiencing, it is only because we have not even given that tiniest of hole that we have not created.
The ego is good, well encrusted.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much, Brother Satyajit. I know we can go on.
Yes, sure.
We've been talking for an hour.
Yes.
And
I think it was just 5 minutes.
That's how it is.
Yes.
And I'm so glad. I'm really grateful to Bhagwan that you could come today, and you could, because you keep traveling so much. I have always wished and prayed and to Bhagwan that, you know, you should come to the studio sometime, but it didn't happen all these days because you're so busy. But today, being a Thursday and start of Navaratri, and we are discussing Bhagwan as the mother principle, and you shared very, very profound lessons that you've learned at Bhagwan's lotus feet. Thank you so much, and we hope that we'll get to hear more from you in the studios of Radio Sai. And I just hope that this satsang continues.
Thank you, brother. I look forward to this. Look forward to this. Sai Ram.
Sai Ram. So, dear listeners, with that, it's time to draw the curtains on this day-long Thursday live session. If you have any queries or comments or any suggestions, what you like and what you do not like about Outside, Inside, Deep Inside and all the programs throughout the day, please feel free to share with us. As always, you can write to listener@radiosai.org. And in a short while, even as I conclude this program, we will go back to the regular program schedule, and you will listen to a drama by Balvika's children from Indonesia, which was presented in front of Bhagwan on 2nd July 2004. The title of this drama is Humanness to Divinity. So that is what you will listen as I sign off. Thank you so much for being with us all throughout the day. And once again, on this auspicious, beautiful Navaratri beginning session, a loving Sai Ram, and finally a sweet goodbye from the studios of Radio Sai. Keep listening. Let us fill ourselves in His love, in His message, in His glory.